they go to church, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come today and we thank you for being a loving God. We thank you for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Father, we thank you for Nancy and the kids as they go to junior church, and we ask that you be with them as they study these wonderful stories. May they have not only a good time, but may they have an educational time where they learn those stories that are so beneficial to the foundation of their faith. Father, for us, we ask a special blessing upon us as we hear your precious word today. Father, may we just not be hearers of your word, but may we always be doers of your precious word. And it is in Christ's name that we do pray. Amen. Well, this morning I want to talk about one of the most critical spiritual disciplines that we can practice, and that is prayer. I want to talk about prayer today. Now, why is prayer so critical to your spiritual walk, to your faith? Why is it so important? Well, it's because it allows us to live a victorious life. It also keeps us in a posture, in position, where we not only experience God's blessings and favor, but we also enter into God's presence. And the example that I want to use this morning about prayer comes from the Old Testament. It comes from the life of a guy by the name of King Hezekiah. How many of you have ever heard of Hezekiah? All right, a few of you, good. Well, Hezekiah's story, you can find it in 2 Kings chapter 16 through chapter 20. You can find it in 2 Chronicles, chapters 28 through chapter 32. And you can also find it in Isaiah, chapters 36 through 39. Hezekiah was the son of a very, very wicked king by the name of King Ahaz. He reigned over the southern kingdom of Judah for 29 years. From 715 to 686 B.C. Hezekiah was 25 years old when he began his reign, so he was a fairly young man. And most importantly, Hezekiah was a very godly man. He was considered a good king who loved the Lord and walked with the Lord deeply. Now, even though Hezekiah loved the Lord and walked with him, he found himself in some real trouble. You see, even though you love the Lord and walk with the Lord, you can still find yourself in trouble on this planet. And he was in some big trouble. One day he heard that King Sennacherib and his million-man Assyrian army was marching toward Jerusalem. And this got his attention. This would have gotten anybody's attention. Who are the Assyrians? Well, author Reza Zardami, in his book Discovering Cyrus, the Persian conqueror astride the ancient world, he writes this about the Assyrians. And this, by the way, is who's headed towards Hezekiah in Jerusalem. Although wartime atrocities were common in the ancient world, the Assyrians took special pleasure in human suffering. In one Maccabean inscription, Ashurnazar Paul II, who ruled from 883 to 859 BC, who consolidated Assyrian rule as far as west as the Mediterranean Sea, boasts. He says, I built a pillar over against the city gate, and I flayed all the chief men who had revolted, and I covered the pillar with their skins. Some I walled up in the pillar, some I impaled upon the pillar on stakes. I cut off the limbs of the officers, of the royal officers who had rebelled. Many captives from among them I burned with fire, and many I took as living captives. From some I cut off their hands and their fingers, and from others I cut off their noses, their ears, and their fingers. Of many I put out the eyes. I made one pillar of the living and another of heads, and I bound their heads to posts round about the city. Their young men and maidens I burned in the fire. All right, I'm going to stop there because I think you get the point. I think you get the idea. This army was no joke. This was a brutal, brutal army, and they were marching toward Hezekiah and the city of Jerusalem, and they were going to wipe them out. So what does Hezekiah do? Well, the first thing he tries to do is he tries to solve the problem financially. He attempts to bribe Sennacherib with the gold from the temple. Well, that was a terrible idea, and it absolutely backfired on him. Because what do you think the sight of all that gold did to Sennacherib? Made him want it even more. Made him want it even more, and he was even more determined to go into Jerusalem and plunder it. Well, Hezekiah, he's not done. He comes up with another plan. He decides that I'm going to go and we're going to build an alliance with Egypt. He says to the leader of Egyptian, you guys have horses, you have soldiers, you have a mighty, mighty army at your disposal. How about we join together? Because if Sennacherib beats us, well, you'll be next. In that moment, the prophet Isaiah comes on the scene. And he thunders a prophecy in the ear of Hezekiah in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1 and verse 2 and verse 15. So picture this in your mind. Hezekiah is trying to figure out how to get out of this problem. And Isaiah shows up, and this is what Isaiah says. Woe to the rebellious children, declares Yahweh, who execute counsel but not mine, and make an alliance but not of my spirit in order to add sin to sin, who go down to Egypt, but did not ask me to find strength in a strong defense of Pharaoh and to take refuge in the shadow of Egypt. For thus Lord Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel, has said, in repentance and rest you will be saved, in quietness and trust in your might, but you were not willing. In other words, the Lord is saying, Hezekiah, let me get this straight. Let me understand this. You're seeking out protection, a protective covering for your country, and you're not coming to me. You're looking for counsel, but you're not calling on me. Well, I've got some real bad news for you. Your treaty with the Egyptians, it ain't going to work because I'm not in it. And you know, I can't help but wonder how many people who attend church, good men and good women who are going through a real rough time, are just like Hezekiah. Instead of turning to the Lord, they turn to a counselor and ask that counselor for help. When all along, the Lord is saying, come to me. Come to me. Friends, look at what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your considerate spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension or understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Well, that's a novel idea, huh? Pray. Pray. But again, how many people who attend church don't make prayer a priority? When something happens, they try to fix it themselves. I was telling the guys in Bible study today, I've been in the ministry now for 20-some years, over 20 years. And I can only think of a handful of times where I have had someone from the church call me in the middle of the night or sometime and say, "Pastor, can you come over to the house right now with your oil and can you anoint my family? Something's going on. It could have been an injury, somebody was hurt, or meet me at the hospital. I need you to anoint my husband. I need you to anoint my child. I need you to anoint them with oil and I need you to pray over them." That's only happened to me a couple of times. Because instead, what are they doing? They're turning to the doctors first. I'm not saying that don't go to a doctor. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying don't go to a counselor. That's not what I'm saying. But how many times do we go to those people before we go to the Lord? Quite often we do that. And that's what this story is all about. Hezekiah's trying to fix it himself. He can't. I want to read again Paul's words, but this time I want to read it from the Amplified Bible. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Delight, take pleasure in Him. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit, your graciousness, unselfishness, mercy, tolerance, and patience be known to all people. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific." That's where we miss out a lot of times in prayer. We give these general prayers, when we should give the Lord a specific request known to God. "And the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus is yours." But that's easy for Paul, though, isn't it? Come on, really? This is the Apostle Paul, the great man of faith. This stuff is a piece of cake for him, because Paul's prayers were always answered the way he wanted them answered, right? Not too sure about that. Not too sure about that. Look at Romans chapter 15, verses 30 through 32. In Paul's words here, Paul says, "Now I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." In other words, I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray with me. And then he gets specific on what he wants prayers for. "That I may be rescued from those who are disobedient in Judea, that my service for Jerusalem may prove acceptable to the saints, so that I may come to you in joy by the will of God and find rest in your company." You see what Paul is saying? Paul is saying, I need you all to pray with me. First, I want you to pray that I may be delivered from my enemies in Jerusalem, Secondly, pray that my service may be accepted by the Christians. And finally, pray that I may come to you in Rome with joy. Y'all know what happened to Paul? Paul was arrested by his enemies in Jerusalem. Paul's ministry was never really accepted by the saints. And the only way Paul made it to Rome was as a prisoner. Friends, here's the thing about prayer that you need to understand. God can say yes to my prayers, or God can say no to my prayers. Either way, it is an answer. You know, I can't speak for you. I can only speak for myself. But how many times have I have said, Father, hear my request, only to see down the road that what takes place is a whole lot better than what I asked for. Man, I used to pray for some dumb stuff. I really did when I was younger. And I look back at it now and I am like, I am so glad he did not answer that prayer. We've all done that, haven't we? That's the neat thing about as you get older, you can look back at your life. You can look back at your experience. And you can look back and you can say, Lord, I am so glad that you did not allow that to happen in my life. You know, look at what Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. Jesus said, but what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if his son asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? You know, sometimes we think we're asking for a big old juicy salmon, but the Lord recognizes it as a rattlesnake. Sometimes we're crying out for bread, but the Lord sees it as a boulder that's going to crush us. The Lord loves us way too much to give us something that he knows that will hurt us. So what are we to do? What are we to do? Well, look again at what it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In other words, we're to make our requests and then rest in God's peace. That's it. We're to make our requests and then rest in God's peace. A peace that passes all understanding. In other words, it's a choice. It's where we say, Lord, I choose not to strip the temple of all its gold to ally with Egypt. Instead, I choose to return to you. I choose to rest in you. I choose to worry about nothing, but pray about everything. And I choose to be thankful for anything that you decide to do. And then watch what God does. And it'll blow your mind. Again, just look at the story of Hezekiah. Isaiah said, Hezekiah, seek the Lord. Stop. Stop with all this nonsense of you trying to get out of this yourself. You don't have the resources to do this. This is a million-man army coming at you. Stop. Stop trying to bribe them. How often do we do that? Bribe our way out of situations and things like that. So stop. I mean, stop trying to ally yourself with Egypt. Have you not learned anything with dealing with those people? You were in bondage for how long? And now you want to go back and align with them? What are you doing? Seek the Lord. And that's what Hezekiah did. Even as Sennacherib continued to march towards Jerusalem. And let me tell you something, things look bad. They look terrible. But then all of a sudden, out of the blue, Sennacherib had to stop. He had to stop and divert his troops to an uprising that broke out northeast of Jerusalem. And Sennacherib's general, Rabshakeh, wrote a letter to Hezekiah. And this is what the letter basically said. If you think we're through with you, you're sadly mistaken. We will not be stopped in destroying Jerusalem. You ever get a letter like that? Intimidating? Threatening? Disheartening? Service will be suspended in 5 days. Unless, but this time it was different. This time Hezekiah didn't say, oh no, what am I going to do? Who can I call? No, having heard the words from Isaiah, Hezekiah took that letter, went into the temple, opened it up before the Lord and said, Lord, I'm giving this to you. I'm giving this to you. I can't do anything. I'm giving this to you. And he began to worship the one who dwells above all and is greater than everything. You see, that's our problem. All this stuff I'm talking about, it's a matter of perspective. Let me give you an example. Here on earth, things look so big, don't they? Oh, things are so big here on earth. You know, we have mountains that tower over 29,000 feet above us. We have something called the Mariana Trench. 36,198 feet below us. But here's the thing. If you look at our planet from space, it looks perfectly smooth. Somebody told me that if our Earth were shrunk to the size of a bowling ball, a brand new unused bowling ball would have more grooves and valleys and peaks than the Earth. Again, it's all a matter of perspective. You see, like Hezekiah, you and I, we have to get above the situation. You got to get above it. Got to get above the situation. And when we get above the situation, suddenly the problems of life, they take on an entirely different dimension. I mean, take a look at the rest of this story. After Hezekiah prayed and submitted to the Lord, that's the key, he prayed and submitted to the Lord, Isaiah shows back up again and says this, Hezekiah, the Lord has spoken, and not one person in Jerusalem will be harmed. In fact, not one arrow will enter this city. Now, did the Assyrians come? You bet they came. The Assyrians showed up. They surrounded the city of Jerusalem. Now, all it would have taken to nullify Isaiah's prophecy and make him a false prophet was for one soldier to take one arrow and fire it over the wall. Never happened. Never happened. Here we have 185,000 battle-hardened Assyrian soldiers camped around the city, and we just read what kind of people, what kind of army they were dealing with. And that very night, you all know what happened? One angel of the Lord came and killed every one of those Assyrian soldiers, 185,000 soldiers, before one could string his bow and fire an arrow. 185,000 Assyrian soldiers were completely wiped out in a way Hezekiah could never have orchestrated or predicted. And God can do the same thing in your life. He can do the same thing in your life because God doesn't change. The Lord still says to us today, take your cares and turn them into prayer. Now, I'm not telling you something you already, that you don't know. You all know this stuff. But do we do it? Do we leave our anxieties and concerns with the Lord? Or do we wonder who we can get to help us with the problem we're facing? In your bulletins, this is why it's important to always grab a bulletin, because sometimes I put things in it for you. In your bulletins, you're going to find this. This piece of paper has the title to my sermon, The Key to Being Carefree. By the way, you want to be carefree, this is the key. Turning things over to the Lord and stop worrying about it. And it simply says down here, our Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning with the following burdens. So you'll find this in your bulletin. You'll find this in your bulletin. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to take this piece of paper. And I want you to write down your concerns on that piece of paper. Every concern that you have could be a relational stress, could be health issues, could be the health issues of a loved one, financial pressures. Do you have a family issue? Guys, it could even be the stress of the upcoming Christmas season. We laugh about that, but that brings on a lot of stress for people. And I'm going to give you a few moments to do that. If you need a pencil, just raise your hand and Paula will bring you a pencil. And after we're done, I'll come back up here and I'm going to pray over this. Now, I can't make you do this. I know some of you might be thinking, well, this is the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. I didn't know I was going to have to take a test. No, I can't make you do this. I can't make you grab a pencil and write down your burdens. But I sure hope you'll humble yourself and do it. Because I do believe you'll experience the peace of God like you've never experienced it before. I believe you'll have a peace that will stop the Assyrians in their tracks. And when I say Assyrians, I'm talking about your burdens. I look out at some of you, and some of you, man, you're carrying something deep. You can't fix it. And all you can do is turn it over to the Lord. believe if you'll do that today, this is a really good start, a really good step of turning it over to the Lord. You're making it real. You're actually putting words on paper. It's like Hezekiah, you've got a letter here and you're taking it to the Lord and saying, Lord, I can't do this. I can't do this. So I'm going to give you a few moments to do that. See, it's so early, I could give you 15, 20 minutes to do it, but I'm not going to do that. I'll give you a few moments to do that, and then I'll come up and we're going to pray. I'm going to pray for it. Now there may be some of you are sitting there and you're like, you know what? I can't think of one thing to write on this list. If that's you, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord and thank Him for that mountaintop experience you're going through right now. Because guess what? The valley is coming. We all go through valleys and mountains. So if you're going through a mountaintop experience right now and you're like, no, life is really good right now, hopefully you wrote on a list saying, Lord, I praise you for all the blessings that you brought into my life. But for many of us, we do struggle with so many things. And like Hezekiah, we've got to take it to the Lord and pray and submit and say, I can't do it. I need you to do it. If he can send one angel and one angel can kill 185,000 Assyrians, don't you think he can take care of our problem? Yeah, he can. He can. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, here it is. Father, we just humbly come before you. We have to swallow all of our pride. We've got to lay our pride aside and say, we can't do this. We have tried counselors. We've tried doctors. We've tried everything. Can't do it. Father, like Hezekiah, we hear the footsteps and the hoofbeats of the mighty Assyrians headed our way. But instead of trying to take them on ourselves or ally ourselves with others, Father, we choose to thank you for whatever you want to do in this situation. Father, these things that we've written on our pieces of paper are the matters that are weighing us down. These are the things that are stealing our joy. So, Father, we humbly come before you this morning as we enter this Thanksgiving season, as we enter this Christmas season, and we ask that you would free us of these burdens that we're lifting up to you today. And it is in Jesus' precious, precious, precious name that we do pray. Amen.